Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
What does Hezbollah want? Why is Kenya getting involved in Haiti?
What can the world's biggest iceberg tell us?
The inquiry. One big question.
Can we trust Google?
Four expert witnesses.
Time for our second expert witness.
And an answer.
What will be the solution?
Explore the trends, forces and ideas shaping the world with The Inquiry from the BBC World Service. Listen now wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
My name is Daniel Lenhart, and this is The Dead Are Not Dead for Heart and Soul. I'm 26 years of age, and I live in Kampala, Uganda. For the past 5 years, I've set out to expose financial and cryptocurrency scams, including in programs for the BBC. But this is something totally different. This is about tribal rituals in my country. I'm from the Banyankole tribe, which makes me a Munyankole. But the largest and most powerful tribe in Uganda is the Baganda tribe. And like most African tribes, rituals are so much part of the culture. My friends, many of whom are Baganda, which means they are from the Baganda tribe, often talk about rituals they had learned about from members of their families as they were growing up. Like most of my friends in Kampala, I'm from a rural village, now moved to the city. We might physically have left communities we grew up in, but we still remain very connected with our ancestral homes. And we have brought many of these rituals with us to the city. When I first heard my friends talk about the Nkumbi ritual, it was strange to my ears. As a single man, raised in a Christian family, I had so many questions going through my mind. I wanted to find out more. That's why I wanted to make this program. You are very welcome to join me on my journey to discover what Nkumbi is and how it came to be. But I have to warn you, this subject is not for the faint-hearted. It's about marriage, it's about sex, it's about death. It is so sensitive and quite graphic from the start. But as you will hear, the people I meet on my journey, both men and women, they are very comfortable talking openly about such things. Okay, so we have to begin by finding out what Nkumbi actually is.
The Nkumbi began with the Bagandas. It's a cloth used in the bedroom to clean up after sexual intercourse. It's used to clean the private parts. It's mostly the women that purchase it or get it for the men.
The Baganda and the Basoga cultural beliefs, they do believe that when a spouse passes on, because of the bonding that has been existing, then there is a likelihood that the spirit of the fallen spouse will come and keep tormenting the living spouse.
You cannot move on to another partner, and you cannot move on to another marriage. The spirit will come haunting you, and sometimes it comes and even engages the act in the dreams, because I have seen stories, I have seen people, several of them, say that.
So the Nkumbi culture is performed, there is a ritual which is performed largely to see that when one passes on, then the spirit is prohibited from coming back.
That was businesswoman Janet Nakazibesebunya, Dr. Wakabi Dominic, a medical doctor and a pastor, and Kerotic Sharom Edna, also a businesswoman. I went to the home of Muliro Namukisa Lilian, a nursery school teacher, and her husband Muliro Rogers, who is a carpenter and a lay preacher. They've been married for 7 years and have 3 children. Theirs is a joyful home full of kids and neighbors coming in and out. They live in the Natete Kawoja slum in western Kampala. The Nalu alleys are tightly packed with shanty houses. Would you believe around 2,000 people live in this small space? It's very hard to breathe there because it's super dusty. The husband and wife are both from the Baganda tribe, and they are firm advocates of the Nkumbi culture.
Before us get married, my auntie told me about those things so that you can protect your husband. And to get the blessings, or the, your husband get the blessings, you must use it because it is so important to him. That's why I'm using it up to now.
You said you first got that information from your aunties.
From my aunties and uncles.
I want to understand how you felt like after hearing the Nkumbi rituals for the first time, like when your auntie called you and told you about the Nkumbi. What did you think? What came in your mind?
The good thing, he first taught me about it. And I was thinking that it is good, because it is the one protected them, even though they are in marriage.
Yeah.
And the day I got them, this man whom I'm having right now, I was wanted to first test it, whether it can work.
Yeah. So you think it's an amazing thing?
It is a very amazing thing.
How amazing is it? Doing it while doing it, or the importance of it?
Doing it. And after doing it, then you see the value of it, yes. Using it with a smile, with love, and good words for him. And after that, you pray a simple prayer of blessings to your husband.
Of course, not every woman or man in Uganda feels so positive about this practice. Aloyo Nyeko Omega is a spokesperson for FIDA Uganda, the Uganda Association of Women Lawyers. She is an outspoken critic. She disapproves of the way girls are inculcated about such sexual rituals from a young, impressionable age. In African culture, these teachings are passed down by what we call our sengas, our aunties and uncles, not our parents.
At what age are girls initiated into these cultural processes? Usually these practices that are sexual start with a senga, a paternal senga. It will not be the mother of the girl because she's an unreliable source. What if domestic violence happens and she runs away from the home? So the patrilineal teaching of these girls is done by a woman that is within the male-dominated sort of field. So the woman belongs to her father's clan. So the woman teaches her and trains her, and it happens during the adolescent stage of the girl's life. So just as a girl is starting to discover herself, to menstruate, as you're becoming, blooming into a woman, this is when this person comes to sort of guide you. So that childlike innocence is gone, and the rest of your life, everything that pertains to you being a woman, will be guided by this person's guidance. So in a sense, it sets the pace of a woman's life, that adolescent stage.
Uganda is predominantly a very cultural country with many tribes, and tribes come with different cultures and many languages. My name is Viola Nila Nyakato. I'm a senior lecturer at Barra University of Science and Technology. I'm a sociologist. My field of research is gender relations and adolescent sexuality. And if you look at the gender roles, especially sexual gender roles, there are more expectations on a woman across board. For example, if a woman is raped, the immediate judgment goes on a woman, not to say, this is what happened. Like if a girl gets pregnant, she takes the blame of not having been careful, of having been loose, of not having taken responsibility. So that's why you see that like virginity is a practice that is largely expected of a woman than it is expected of a man. So the expectation is much on a woman as than it is on a man.
When we are looking at Nkumbi, we have to look at it for what it represents.
Aloyo Nyeko Omega again.
The word itself means a whore. And it's just a primary example of how African sexuality is usually hidden in metaphors. So as opposed to saying that the Nkumbi is a cloth that a woman could use during sexual intercourse or when her husband passes, the Baganda refer to it as a hoe, right? So What is a hoe used for? It is used for digging and plowing the land so that you can have reproductivity. So that's a very great starting point into understanding the culture of the Baganda and the culture of Africans. They cover, quote unquote, cover sexual matters in certain ways. So that for sometimes for good reason, because they don't want maybe to say that children will listen to these things.
I've come to meet another woman who practices Nkumbi. She is also a Muganda by tribe, grew up in the Christian faith, and has recently become a Muslim. Today, she's a successful businesswoman and lives in a beautiful house in Namlanda, Entebbe, with her husband and 5 children.
My name is Nakazibwe Janet Sebunya. I'm a CEO. I'm a phytotherapy Baganda couples using Nkumbi for cleanliness. Because before, in the traditional society, we didn't have like bathrooms in our bedrooms. Mm. Yes, bathrooms were outside. They are still there in the villages, other areas, but the lady cleans the husband well. That shows submissiveness.
So basically, you still practice Nkumbi in your marriage?
Yes, I do.
And you believe if your husband passes away, There is a possibility of the spirit coming to you if you don't use Nkumbi cloth?
Yes, I do.
There are some women activists Who think the Nkumbi culture is aimed at putting women down, maintaining women under men. It shouldn't be happening in this modern world. I mean, why don't we leave all these things? They are not helpful anymore. What do you think about that?
What I think is that people don't really know why the Nkumbi is there. It's a hygienic purpose. Its use is to clean up After sexual intercourse. So it's not for putting women down just because they do the cleaning. I don't know, maybe they want the men to clean themselves, but they can still use the Nkumbi as a sign of enticing the partner, cleanliness. For Other cultures, I don't know, but for the Bagandas, and we are following the norms, Yes, that's how it's supposed to be. And I would advise all women to have Nkumbi in their bedrooms.
You are listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
I'm Lucy Hawkins from the Global Story Podcast, where we're looking at disinformation online and its potential influence on the upcoming US presidential election. Why people fall for online conspiracy theories and what happens when real-world events are shaped by online disinformation, and how AI could affect the result of next month's election. The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
How did you feel when you, after marriage, your wife will be using that Nkumbi cloth on you?
I was enjoyed because I was never used that Nkumbi culture. Mm. So when I got my wife, she started using that things on me. So I was feeling very, 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 very happy because of that. So I feel like increased loving him in my heart. And I humble and I appreciate for that. So, because our culture, the Baganda culture, the man need respect.
Do you think the Nkumbi culture has increased your relationship with your husband?
Yes, of course. It's very good because he has added us blessings, protection into our marriage. Our love is increased. We are happy, by the way, because of that. And we see blessings. Some doors are opening because of that. My husband, if he dies, I use that Nkumbi to protect me before me crying. Then after burying him, I remove it from me and I put it somewhere.
Under
that banana tree, cover it with a soil, and I tell that spirit that if you need to come back to me, I am no longer yours.
I asked Janat Nakazwesebunya why it was always left to the women to perform the act of enkumbi, an aspect that many criticize.
Women are supposed to be submissive to men, according to the Baganda, even in the bedrooms. It's a cultural thing. That's how it was supposed to be.
Really?
Yes.
Do you believe in that?
It doesn't mean just because you have enkumbi that you're the only submissive woman. No. It was part of submissiveness. It even helps to show love, not only submissiveness, to show love. And nowadays, you can clean your man, he can clean you too.
Mm.
You wouldn't have to follow the tradition. You can make your own tradition, but having that enkumbi still. And you still follow the rules of the enkumbi. You still have to follow those rules.
What happens when the husband loses the wife?
The enkumbis are mostly used by women. When a husband loses a wife,
yes,
we also have those beliefs for men.
Okay.
It's rare for a spirit of a woman to come for a man.
Hi, welcome.
I've just arrived at the home of Kerotik Sharom Edna, a young businesswoman and single mother of one. She has never been married and lives with her parents in a middle-class suburb of Kampala.
Culture norms are put there either to protect the family and keep the bond of the marriage together. Mm. Even though a man goes out there and he does some of the stuff with another woman who is not married to, those practices can still keep the man back in the home for the sake of the children, you know. Mm. So that in Kumbi culture, they used to do it because our ancestors used to say, okay, there was a problem. How can we avoid it? What norms can we do so that we can help our future generations not to fall for the same problem? So in Kumbi, when the person dies, they have their norms to stop that spirit from coming to the partner who's alive, because the spirit comes, you cannot move on to another partner and you cannot move on to another marriage. The spirit will come haunting you, and sometimes it comes and even engages the act.
The next stop on my journey to learn more about the enkumbi ritual was for me the most harrowing, the home of Pruna Ahumuza in the Kaboja slum. She is a nurse and a mother of three, and to this date, she still remains convinced that she was plagued by the spirit of her first husband after he died some years ago. Because they did not practice the enkumbi ritual during their marriage. And as you will hear, even though she is happily remarried, she is still traumatized by that experience. I have to tell you, this is very graphic and hard to listen to. What made you believe that your husband's spirit was still present with you?
After my husband passed away,
like
after 7 days, that's a week, I was sleeping. So there in the middle of night, I heard someone knocking on the door. I covered my head with a blanket, with a bed cover. So like after 30 minutes, I was with somebody in my bed. Oh my God. It was terrible. So after some few minutes, I heard him sleeping with me, like as we used to do.
Oh, so strange. So how many times did it go on and on? Was it only once?
Yeah, he kept on coming every night. To the extent, I decided to go and tell my mother and my grandmother. They were like, oh my goodness, we forgot to use the other Nkumbi culture when burying your husband. my grandmother and my mother, they took me there in the banana plantation. They told me to dig a hole and I buried that cloth. They told me to speak some words, commanding to find me here on that very day. I waited for him. He didn't come back. So, Nkumbi Cult is real. If you're believing in it, it really works like magic. Then after him disappearing, you come back into your normal life. And you realize that, oh my goodness.
Something happened.
Yeah, something happened to me.
But how do the next generation of married women, those in their 20s, living in cities, with professional jobs, who consider themselves equal partners in a marriage, feel about practicing Nkumbi, a ritual which falls to the woman, not the man?
We are equal in marriage, but we have different roles.
Kerotik Sharom Edna again.
If I am doing 50-50 in that marriage, my duty as a woman is to make sure I multiply what the man has given me. In general, it should be the man providing, protecting, and love his family. And as a woman, I'm there to love my husband, groom my kids, you know, take care of my husband, the household. We are equal, but we both have different roles to play. If a man is doing his roles, a woman will fully not complain in doing her roles as a woman. Mm-hmm. Thus doing the Nkumbi Kalitra without saying, oh, it's difficult to do. No, she knows that is part of her role.
With so many Ugandans now living in urban areas and the population of the country being so young, I asked Viola Nila Nyakato whether these rituals are still relevant to people living in the city.
Most families have both rural and urban experiences. Kampala is urban. People come from all parts of the country and live in Kampala. And as they move to live in Kampala, which is the city, they go on with their cultures. When you talk about modern and transitions in culture, girls and boys have different expectations. I always make this fun in my class that did anyone tell you that when you finish school, immediately you'll be, for a boy, you'll be expected to look for your bride wealth. For a girl, you'll be expected to get married and immediately start taking care of your husband. So some of these things are really silent, but the expectations are really high. For some young people, they get shocked of these changes that they are faced with, especially like after school. So family life is largely almost the same, although they are changing family structures extended to nuclear family. So you find urban as opposed to rural, but culture transits and is carried over. The closer the family is and the tradition of the family is, they will find themselves practicing some of these cultures more.
As a practicing Christian, I find rituals like Nkumbi very hard to understand. Yet many people of faith don't seem to have a problem following these ancient rituals. Pastor Dr. Wakabi Dominic accepts cultural beliefs have an intersection with religion, but as a man of the cloth, he remains skeptical of them.
Some cultural beliefs have got some good side of it because they teach morals to a given extent, and religion also teaches morals. For example, the good moral about the Nkumbi culture is that it is a good sense of intimacy, and it's a good moral which can be applauded. However, the other element of thinking that when a spouse passes on, then the spirit of the spouse comes back to life, it is somehow a contradiction. Some beliefs are too primitive and they are not acceptable in the modern world. They need to be checked with religion, because religion is basically a standard belief of a divine deity. Some cultural beliefs do intermingle with religion and vice versa, but those that can compromise with the teachings of religion, about the divine deity, then the divine deity takes precedence, and those cultures that do not conform with the teaching, especially about the Bible, to me, who is a believer, then I consider such cultural norms unacceptable in society, in Christian life.
Any human rights defender must always see the approach that you're using. Is it an Afrocentric approach?
Aloyo Nyeko Omega again.
It is not a problem that is unique to the Baganda. I think their cultural norms and practices through sex and what sex is represented and who does what in the act just subjugate the rights of women. That is the truth. Now I can imagine back centuries ago when there was no medicine to numb it down. Yeah. For you to go through that act, you could get an infection. You could literally die. But these cultural norms have existed for years and years, and they are part of the identity of the people. Yeah. How do you approach it to make sure that you're telling the people there are certain aspects of this culture that are extremely wrong, but at the same time you're not bashing what they know forever. It is as though you are going to England and saying something about the queen. This is their identity.
So do you think that the Enkumbi ritual empowers women in any way, or it is primarily a tool for social control?
There are parts of it that are extremely harmful to women and girls in the country. So as opposed to saying, let us do away with this culture entirely, start thinking of ways that you can work around that culture, because it is not going. I know that culture is not static and that it can change.
Do you think this kind of norm should continue? Do you advocate for it, or you think we've reached a level of modernity where we don't need to do particular traditions?
We are in modern times, but I believe traditions still stay.
Janat Nakazwesebunya.
In the traditional society now, it's fading out, but still, I believe it should stay. And it should be a matter of choice.
And so my journey is at an end. I have learned so much. In conclusion, I have to say that as a practicing Christian, my feelings about Enkumbi align most closely with those of Pastor Dr. Wakabi Dominic. But I also agree with those last words of Aloyo Nyeko Omega and Janat Nakazwesebunya. These ancient rituals are here to stay, at least for now, and culture is always changing. You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service. The documentary was presented by me, Daniel Lenhart, and produced by Mohini Patel. And the music was written and performed by me.
I'm Lucy Hawkins from the Global Story Podcast, where we're looking at disinformation online and its potential influence on the upcoming US presidential election. Why people fall for online conspiracy theories, and what happens when real-world events are shaped by online disinformation, and how AI could affect the result of next month's election. The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.